The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Aaron Rodgers' watch continues. Receiver Alan Lazard agrees to a four-year, $44 million deal with the Jets. Lazard might not be the only former Packer that will move to New York. As our own Diana Rossini tweeted yesterday, Aaron Rodgers has provided the New York Jets with a wish list of free agents that he'd like them to target. Per sources, it includes Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr. Swagoo is here, and I will start with you, sir. Do you have an issue with Rodgers having a wish list?
No, I don't. And I look, y'all know it don't take much for me to criticize Aaron Rodgers and things that he does. But the fact that I can't be about player empowerment as a former player and not recognize that he's trying to make sure that his guys continue to have jobs and have an opportunity to win a championship. So that's the Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis of this situation. They are veteran presence as well. Randall Cobb is no scrub. He actually helped a little bit in that Green Bay offense down the stretch when they were winning games. Obviously, he's not a number one guy, but guys like Garrett Wilson and the youth on this team can learn from him. And Mercedes Lewis at tight end, while they have Conklin, is a guy that they recognize as a blocker on the end line. But let's not get it twisted. Like, they not coming in to be superstars, or they not coming in to change much. I think Alan Lazard is a big acquisition. When you talk about him lining up opposite of Garrett Wilson, who is clearly the number one and going to be the number one in New York based on what he did. He had 104 catches for 1,300 yards last year and played with quarterbacks as good as me, Stephen A., and Mad Dog Molecule. So we know what type of talent he is. The Alan Lazard pickup to me is one for now. And to try to appease Aaron Rodgers, but it also is a move for the future. I don't have a problem with it at all because I want to put my boys on. You know, Stephen A put me on First Take. I want to put my boys on too. That's all Aaron Rodgers is doing, and I'm not going to get mad at it as a former player, and I would be a hypocrite to be for player empowerment and the opportunities to help your guys out and criticize this move from him.
To me, this is not about player empowerment. This is about trying to build a good football team. Joe Douglas has been a Jet general manager for 4 or 5 years. And, yes, he's whiffed on Zach Wilson, but he did obviously draft Breece Hall. He drafted Sauce Gardner. He knows what he's doing. He's done a heck of a job with the team. So now Aaron Rodgers, before he steps foot here, before Aaron Rodgers plays one down for the Jets, who have obviously been a team that hasn't done much and they need him, I understand that. But now Aaron Rodgers is starting to dictate to the Jet franchise, I'll come, but do me a favor. I want this guy to come. I want that guy to come. Mercedes Lewis been around a long time. Let's get another check. Let's have him show up, too. I didn't throw the ball to Lazard in the playoff game 2 years ago against San Francisco, but I promised I'll throw the ball to him now. So let's bring Lazard in here. I could use him as my wide receiver. And, you know, and here's Randall Cobb, who I tell you, you would think that Randall Cobb is freaking Bob Ace, the way they continually talk about Randall Cobb. Enough of Randall Cobb. Enough. I'm sick of it. How about him just say, you know what? New team, new chance. They got a good ball club. They got a good defense. They got a lot of good supporting people. How about if I just go to New York, pipe down, not say anything, and lead them to where they should be, which is in the postseason with a chance to win something, and not worry so much about making sure Mercedes Lewis gets a contract. That's what bothers me about Favre. Same thing with him. That's what bothers me about Rodgers. How about coming to a new setting, not being such a diva, not making this big pronouncement on whether it's Mr. McAfee's show or whatever, and just saying, you know what? I'm raring to go. Let's go, Jets. We got a chance, got a good ball club. I'm the missing piece. And he hasn't done that. That's what bothers me.
Oh, a lot bothers you. We understand that. But the reality of the situation is this. If you're the New York Jets, if Aaron Rodgers wanted you to wash his feet every day, you should. You haven't won a Super Bowl since 1968. You ain't been to the Super Bowl since 1968. In that span, you've been to 4 conference championship games. And oh, by the way, the last conference championship game that you was in, I believe that was 2010. That's the last time you've been in the playoffs, too. He ain't been in playoffs 13 years. If that man wanted a pedicure on a daily basis, a manicure, a massage,
that man went to the bottom.
You understand what I'm saying? He wanted you to clean his house. Damn it, you the New York Jets, you should do it. If the Cleveland Browns could go out and give Deshaun Watson what they gave him because they hadn't won a championship since Jim Brown was playing your era, okay?
Yeah.
The bottom line is you're going to have other people that sit up there every game. Listen. I'm not trying to bring up any negatives about Deshaun Watson. This situation is his situation, okay? We talked about that ad nauseum. But it is important to point out that if you are a quarterback, particularly an elite quarterback, and you watched what an organization went out and did for him, it ain't all about the money. Sometimes it's about the other perks that come with it. So Aaron Rodgers ain't asking for $230 million guaranteed. Instead, what he's asking for is this other stuff. And oh, by the way, there's been reports alluding to the fact that he might be willing to take less money. Just take care of his boys. Now, my argument, Swaggoo, in the first hour was that Randall Cobb been in the league for 12 years. He's got 1,000-yard season on his resume. He's not a scrub. We know he can play. A lot of times he was open last year when we didn't know he would be. This brother can still play. We get that. But 1,000-yard season in 12 years. Mercedes Lewis won 700-yard season in 17 years as a tight end. That's the most he's ever recorded as a tight end in yards. This man ain't knocking your socks off, so we got to take that into consideration. Alan Lazard can play, but we all know with Christian Watson, this brother was the future. We looked at Green Bay. That was the name we thought about. That was the wide receiver we paid most attention to. Alan Lazard's been in the league for 5 years, ain't had a 1,000-yard season. So we look at it from that perspective, and Swaggoo, when you bring up the fact that you brought on First Take, I'm going to say the same thing to you that I said to Molly. Yes, I don't want to do the show without y'all. Love having y'all on the show. Let me throw out Ryan Clark. Let me throw out Dan Orlovsky. Let me throw out my man Dan Orlovsky. Let me throw out Michael Irvin. Let me throw out everybody, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, y'all got a lot to do with the fact this show is winning. The Green Bay Packers haven't been winning. We've seen them win in a regular season. We've seen Mr. Matt LaFleur show up, okay, with his 13 win seasons in 3 consecutive years. We've seen them get to an NFC championship game, get bulldozed. We see them show up to a divisional playoff game without winning a game, and they lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. And then we saw them again in the last game of the regular season lose to the Detroit Lions and miss the playoffs. So they've regressed over the last 3 years, all as Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. So to me, I don't have a problem with what he wants. I have a problem with who he's insisting on wanting, because it's one thing for them to be your boys. But the other thing is, can they be productive? You come to New York City, you better be.
Stephen A., you make a great point. On the Alan Lazard deal, though, right? Like, we're looking at an average of 11
million.
Million.
It's 44
yeah,
million.
We're not killing nobody over Alan Lazard.
But we're just saying that Aaron Rodgers insisted on that's one of the boys he wants. I'm just saying, when you say you want dudes, we do have a right to look at them and go like this. Them? You
but
sure?
I believe.
And I like Randall Cobb.
Just the Alan Lazard part of it. I believe he's a legitimate number two in the NFL. Like I think him and Aaron Rodgers has a great rapport.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
But the Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis, I'm not about to argue you on that. I'll tell you what goes on in the NFL at times, though. Sometimes teams bring veterans in. I wasn't worth a plug nickel when I got to Baltimore as far as being the player I was when I was in Dallas. But I did provide a veteran presence that was able to help a lot of these young guys. And remember, this is a young team that the New York Jets have. This is not a veteran-laden team with a bunch of guys that's been through a lot. Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis has played a lot of football. They could help in other ways. Obviously, the production on the field is what everybody looks to when we turn the TV on. But there's a lot that goes on off camera, in practice, in meetings, that a lot of veterans help. That's why we see a lot of these quarterbacks continue to get jobs that we know will never play or never be good. We see quarterbacks in the league become offensive coordinators because of that being the role that they actually were in when they were considered to be on the rosters of teams. So I understand that. Now, a lot of this is Aaron Rodgers, and that's his boys, and he want to do that. I don't think the Odell Beckham Jr. thing is feasible because Odell is looking to be a number one wide receiver, and that's going to be Garrett Wilson in New York. So I understand Aaron liking Odell, and we all agree that Odell, when he's healthy, plays plays at an elite level at the wide receiver spot, but this is not going to be a fit for him if we're talking about him becoming second fiddle to Garrett Wilson. The other part of this is this, okay, based off what Mad Dog said. Mad Dog, at what point do you think the New York Jets didn't give up all their power? They're literally waiting for Aaron Rodgers to let them know if he's coming and have watched other free agent quarterbacks go to other teams that could help this team win. Remember, Zach Wilson and Mike White is who they hung their hats on. Jimmy Garoppolo was out there. Derek Carr was out there. We know Lamar Jackson is going to be up for you to send an offer sheet in. The Jets gave away their power as soon as they got on that jet and went to talk to him becoming a Jet.
I will say this. I just think it's important to say.
I know this is something coming from
Porn star Jimmy can play. We got it. Porn star Jimmy can play. No, that name will never be retired. That brother was on Melrose. Melrose with a porn star.
He in Vegas now.
He in Vegas now. Oh, my Lord. That's a different subject for another day.
Molly, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He's there, and Derek Carr is in New Orleans. They both can play. They're both worthy starting quarterbacks, but it is important to say that, you know, passing up on them, waiting for Aaron Rodgers, it's not the greatest crime.
It's not, but here's
the thing. All right, hold on. We got to go. One nugget I wanted to give you, Swaggo, before we go to break. Vegas, speaking of Vegas, has been paying attention to what's happening in New York, if I could talk. And now the Jets have surpassed your Cowboys with shorter odds to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm not surprised.
The shortest odds to get to the Super Bowl.
I'm not surprised.
It's about Aaron Rodgers. That's what that's about. It's about Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. This segment. It's Mad Dog Wednesday, so it's time to hear what's got Doggy all sorts of fired up this week, and I know you got a heck of a list for it, so let's go. Give me number one.
Let's start a little baseball. Tonight, Puerto Rico plays the Dominican Republic. This is the World Baseball Classic. The game is in Miami. The loser is out. Do you see that group, that pool? It's Dominican Republic, it's Venezuela, it's Puerto Rico, it's all these great teams. And then you see the USA pool out in Phoenix. Great Britain. Great Britain, they don't play baseball. Canada, for crying out loud. Colombia, boy, we made it so easy for us to advance. Make a better pool. Spread it out. Put Puerto Rico in Phoenix with the U.S. So there's a third good team there. Top two teams to each pool advance. Drove me crazy. I know we want to advance. They want to get Lou Juice going with the U.S. in the quarterfinals. But make them learn it. Drove me crazy. They gave him a layup. Number one.
Okay, take a breath.
What's wrong with a layup? Where's your patriotism? Where's your patriotism? I mean, this is the United States of America. We're trying to get to
Stephen A. wants to see Puerto Rico and DR in Miami.
What's wrong with that?
So he's good with
what's wrong with that?
You're going to go see Puerto Rico and DR in Miami, so you're
I will be there next week. Okay.
All right, that's one. Selection Sunday, the committee. Hold on now, let me get this straight. Clemson, who was first four out. They beat NC State three times in the same conference, twice by over 25 points, and they don't make the NCAA tournament, and NC State does? What? That is a disgrace. How is that happening? Nevada, the fourth team out of the Mountain West. The Mountain West. You can't in high school to beat Nevada. They make the NCAA tournament. Now, to be fair, I was going to kill them about Rutgers because Rutgers went 10-10 in the Big Ten. They won at Purdue and Northwestern and Penn State. And I love the head coach, Pikel, but I can't. You know why? Hearts got beat Rutgers last night in the NIT. How does Rutgers lose after they moaned and groaned all week and then Rutgers last night at home in front of a packed house lost to Speedy Claxton in overtime at Hofstra? What are you doing, Rutgers? You make me look bad. I screamed for 2 days, I got robbed, and then you lose the NIT opening round. So you're both nuts. Committee and the Knights. Number two.
I don't know about that one.
Here's why. I feel bad you went hard for them and then they lost.
Here's why. Rutgers, if I remember correctly, especially listening to your great preview of the NCAA tournament this past Sunday on Mad Dog Radio, Rutgers beat seven teams in the NCAA tournament.
Correct.
So my problem was this. You could show up to the NIT because you're not really interested in being in because you're despondent from missing out in the NCAA tournament. That might have been why they lost to Hofstra last night. Remember.
At home.
UNC didn't even want to join the NIT.
Oh, that's a disgrace.
I'm just saying.
I was going to kill NC.
They didn't want to be there.
But Steve, you got to win the first round playoff game against NIT.
If you don't care, you don't care.
All right, this does not apply, number three. Does not apply to Stevie and I. Okay. Did you see Tom Hoagie? He made $1.3 million this week at the TPC. He was in the top five. Hoagie's a journeyman golfer. This is the golf there, of course, in Point of Vista. He went coach on the way home. Now, he doesn't make Smith money.
Oh, Lord.
But $1.3 million to fly coach? Has anybody flown coach lately? Has anybody been on an airplane lately? What a disgrace. I just came back from the beautiful tan. I just came back from the Caribbean. Can you imagine what they bring on these planes, these people? They bring luggage. They bring tuna fish sandwiches. They bring black coffee that spills all over the place. They have all these bags. They put the bags in a first class compartment when they're sitting in 36F. This is an absolute disgrace. You can't travel anymore. The airline doesn't give you a darn thing. You get a peanut, you should be happy. A glass of water. No wonder he flies wheels up. And so do I. What a day.
Okay.
I was so freaked out a week ago Tuesday in St. Martin and in a first class seat. It was so jammed, so overwhelmed with people, and so noisy. If I didn't have the volume, I would have jumped out of the cargo door. That's how bad it was. Travel in America today is nuts. Hoagie, you're nuts. $1.3 million. Wheels up.
Okay, can I say one thing,
yes.
First of all? They bring tuna fish sandwiches, and you're mad at that. This is a serious question for both of you. Are you the people that sit in first class, and if people come
Let
me finish. Come from coach and come up to first class and use the first class bathroom. Does that bother you?
Oh, yeah, you sure do. That's my bathroom. I paid for it.
It does.
It bothers you?
No. If you're a coach, you should be allowed to use the bathroom in first class.
And you got Madison bags up there too?
Absolutely. I'd be ticked off. But I will say this to you. The $1.3 million, we have to take into account. We have day jobs where our salaries are pretty guaranteed for the duration of our contract. That may not be case for him, tournament to tournament. And $1.3 million, Uncle Sam, let's understand. So let's forgive him for the coach. But I agree with everything you said about traveling.
I just don't
think you should be hard on him.
Can you believe people bring tuna fish sandwiches?
Tuna fish sandwiches? They bring everything on a plane, but they're animals for flying out.
If I didn't get sleepy, I would drive most places today rather than fly.
It's a disaster. It's uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, I love to fly, so if any airline wants to work out an endorsement, I'm available.
Not bad, right?
Frequent flyer, the wings, all that.
Not bad. Take a deep breath.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We head to the association where Damian Lillard returned after a one-game absence and dropped 38 against Stephen A's Knicks, but it wasn't enough as the Blazers lose their fourth in a row. Dame made headlines when he hopped on the mic for J.J. Redick's podcast, The Old Man and Three, episode that dropped earlier today. Go check it out. In a five-minute clip J.J. shared last night, Dame went off about ring culture in the NBA. Take a listen.
The NBA I play in now is not the NBA that I came into, and I expect it to evolve. Everything is constantly changing. But, like, I feel like I play for the love of the game. Like, I want the competition. I want to know what it feels like to win. I want to see my teammates do well. I want to see my teammates get paid. You know, like, I enjoy the bonding part of it. Like, we spend more time with each other than anybody. But now it's like, that don't count. Regular season don't count. Get a ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, who... This guy's the MVP. This guy did this. He the first. It's like, bro, what is this stuff? Like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to make it about my situation, but I was talking after a game like a week ago, and I was just like, they was asking me about Dame, but like, to win a ring. And I'm like, bro, I don't need to prove to y'all that I want to win a ring. Why the hell do I play? Like, I don't need to prove that to y'all, but we cannot keep acting like, while I understand we play to win championships, we all want to win a championship, we can't keep acting like nothing matters, like the rest of the stuff, the journey doesn't matter. We can't keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's so many ways that the league is different. There's so many ways, and I think about it all the time where I'm like, man, I don't know if I can just play a long, long time because I don't enjoy what the NBA as a whole is becoming.
Okay, first let me say this. Shout to J.J. Redick and his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He was way ahead of his time in that podcast game and obviously getting that with Dame there. Wendy, back here with us. Is too much emphasis, Stephen A., put on Redick? Is there credence in the argument Dame was making there?
Well, first of all, there's always credence in any argument that Damian Lillard makes. He is a superstar caliber player. He is an absolute future Hall of Famer. One of the greatest guards we have ever seen in NBA history. This brother is something special. And on top of it all, he's gotten paid very, very handsomely. He's made over $500 million in his career on the basketball court in terms of contracts. And his loyalty to the city of Portland, his commitment to staying there and not jumping on board and trying to, join some loaded roster, in a lot of people's eyes is to be commended. And he's entitled to his opinion. He doesn't enjoy it. Fair enough. But this is a guy that I've known for years, and I would challenge very, very respectfully, I might add. I would challenge what he's saying to some degree by retorting with this. It depends on the individual. It depends on the situation.
In Damian Lillard's case, he has a right, guys, to hold the position that he's held. We don't look at the Portland Trailblazers and say Damian Lillard didn't get it done. We look at them from an organizational perspective. We wonder and contemplate what they've surrounded him with, and we say, okay, you're good, but you're not good enough. You're in the playoffs a majority of the time. You've been to a Western Conference Finals or two. You've been a superstar in this league, and you refuse to jump ship, to jump on board with other superstars. Fair enough. And clearly you've made a conscientious decision, because I'll be damned if I know any superstar that's looking to go to Portland in free agency. You don't draft them and don't breathe them as your own. It's just not going to work. They're not coming to Portland. They're just not. And I've said that to Dane on several occasions in the past. But you also have to take into account the amount of money that players are making. And there are times, not with Dane, but there are times where you wonder about people's commitment. I'll give you a perfect example, Wendy and Doggy. And he'll probably be upset about this. He'll have to get over it because it's just the truth. Russell Westbrook has never cheated us with effort, ever. Every time he goes on the court, he's trying his best. You've never once looked at Russell Westbrook and said, there's no effort there. The competitive fervor is not there. He's not striving to win. You know that he is. But when he was in, after having an awful season as a Laker last year, and he was on a highway singing You Can't Break My Soul by Beyonce when he knew that the criticism was out there about him, well, basically, it was like, yo, I got mine. When you were in Washington and you were telling folks, I don't care if I win the championship or not, I'm going to be all right. That doesn't fly. Because what happens is that, and by the way, I'm just using him as an example. There are a plethora of other examples, other people who have said stuff similar. Again, not in any way accusing Russell Westbrook or any player that did what he did of not caring. The point that we're trying to make is that it looked like you were dismissive of the importance of championships. And Magic Johnson came on when he got to the Lakers. He's like, that don't fly here. This is the Lakers. We have expectations. Okay, it matters. Why does that matter? Because there's an audience out there that's the paying customer. And they don't pay just to enjoy a basketball game. They invest emotionally in ultimately having a winner. Ask LeBron James or ask the city of Cleveland what LeBron James winning did for that locale. Ask the Milwaukee Bucks what having Giannis and winning a championship did for that locale. Ask the Kansas City Chiefs in football what winning a championship did for that locale. It means something. And if you want, if you're Dame and you wish that people wouldn't invest so much energy in that, then basically what you're doing is asking them to then step back, quell their emotional fervor, and be like, yo, if you don't win, it's okay. At least we were entertained. Fans ain't built like that, especially in this day and age, because especially when you're getting paid, what you're acknowledging is you're above the typical, you're above the fray. You can expect more from me because I have the ability to deliver. And when you do that with fans, they're going to say, okay, deliver. And when you don't, they're going to let you know about it. Floor is yours.
Stephen A., about 7 or 8 years ago in the NBA, I started noticing a phenomenon as I started going around the league and talking to people. And that was the incredible amount of unhappiness that I was detecting. Players, coaches, executives, agents, they never made more money. That money came flying in about 8, 9 years ago with that new TV deal.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe how often people were very unsatisfied. So, yes, the ultimate thing is to try to win. Everybody having been there in those locker rooms, having been there at those parades where those players celebrate that, embracing it with their city, it's incredible. But there's something to be said for players being happy. And, you know, a few months ago, I have a 5-year-old son, and a few months ago, we watched Dame in take the Lakers down in one of those classic fourth quarter comebacks, and tapping his wrist, and my son loved it. He doesn't know about ring culture. His first jersey is a Dame Lillard jersey because he loved it. I've been in Portland on nights in January where Dame goes off. And I'm telling you, everybody in that arena walks away with a glow around them of having to see that. And having to see that for over the course of years makes an impact on people. No, there's no banner there. And I know what it means to a small town to win a banner. I know that in Portland, for example, people who were born in the 90s, you say the spirit of 77, they know exactly what you're talking about because they've won one and they celebrate it to this day and they should. I certainly understand the way it feels in Cleveland for having won that. So I think that there is a nuance here that, yes, you strive at the top of your profession. You want to win. But there is also a striving to be happy in the NBA. And if you can be happy and if you can provide your fan base with 7, 8, 10 years of a bunch of wonderful nights to get you through the rough winter, there's something in that. And absolutely, there's money.
That's true.
The league is incentivized staying, which is why when everybody finishes their contracts, Dame Lillard will have made more money in his career than LeBron James. And Bradley Beal, believe it or not, I don't know if LeBron will sign any more deals, but if they finish their two deals, Bradley Beal is going to be this close to LeBron in career earnings because he's been so incentivized to sign those contracts to stay with the Washington Wizards. And Russell Westbrook, the last 2 years, has earned more money than LeBron on his own team because those contracts that he signed, he's still on, and when he was staying with the Thunder. The contract he's on now, believe it or not, was signed with the Thunder. So those players are incentivized to stay there, absolutely. And so that can contribute to the happiness as well. But there's more to enjoying your career and enjoying your life and from a fan base, enjoying a player, than simply getting that ring. And that's what Dame is saying. And I'm telling you, in today's day and age, I feel it. I feel it out here the field with these players.
Admit it. Yeah.
Go ahead, First off, that Portland team was a great team in 77.
Yes, it was. Bill Walton.
Lucas.
That's right. Walton, Lisa Lucas.
Bobby Gross. Lionel Larry Hollins. Steele. Larry Hollins. Davey Twardzik. That was a great team. And the next year, they were 52-10, and Walton had a broken foot, fell apart.
Came back from an 0-2 deficit on the Sixers and beat
them. They won four straight. That's good boy, Steve. 100%. They did a great job. That was the Dawkins fight with Lucas. Remember that? The whole nine. And Walton was unbelievably good that year. Anyway, remember one thing about Lillard. Most of the championships are won by about 6, 7 guys. Jordan's got 6. Russell's got 11. Kobe's got 5. LeBron's got 4. Most of these times, Mikan had 4. They've been around for 75 years. I'm sure there's about 10 guys who got about 7 or 8 of the championships. So you got to keep that in mind. Not everybody wins. Oscar didn't win in Cincinnati. Jimmy Butler hasn't won a title yet. Sidney Moncrief. You know how good Moncrief was with the Bucks? They never won it. Don Nelson won 800 games. He's in the Hall of Fame. He never coached an NBA final as a coach. So, listen, I understand that there is a scenario where, you know, we look at Ewing and he didn't win a ring, so we think Ewing failed. I think that ring thing is more the center than I think it's any other player. I think the center, the great center in the old days, they had to win a championship. Elijah won a couple. Shaq won some. Obviously, cool. Ewing did not. I think it's important for the center. I don't look at Lillard any less because he hasn't won a championship.
Nobody should.
This guy's a great player.
Phenomenal.
And I think Wendy hit it right on the head. He's had a great career. He's made a fortune. It's a great city. Mm-hmm. It's the only game in town. Right. And he's had some fun. He had a couple of runs. Mm-hmm. So the idea, I think there is something to the idea that just because you're playing a team that can't win every year doesn't mean you're a forgotten player.
Right.
Lillard's not forgotten. Right. He must think that nobody knows how good he is. Mm-hmm. You and I and Wendy, we know how good Lillard is.
Great.
One of the top 10, 12 players in the league. So I think you have to keep in mind most of the titles are won by a Russell won 11.
Right.
There's been 75 championships won 11 titles.
Right, but here's the part that I think respectfully both you and Wendy did not touch on. You're absolutely right. There's no disagreement with what y'all saying. What I'm saying is you have a lot of fans out there. They want to look at you and know you're going for it. They don't want to look at you and think, okay, I play great. We're not that good. We're in the regular. We go through the regular season. We go home. They don't want that. You want a person that's itching and scratching and clawing for the ultimate prize. When you bring up Ewing, you're in New York City. You remember how badly he wanted it. LeBron, you were in Cleveland. Wendy, you know how badly he wanted it. Whether he got it or not, he wanted it. You want to see, and certainly this doesn't apply to Damian Lillard. We're not talking about him. We just talk about it in general. You want to see players that are itching for it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But you can't give the impression That's perfectly all right if I don't get it. Can't do that.
All right.
Can't do that.
Okay. Wendy, thank you so much for being with us. Just want to say one thing quick. Of that 75th anniversary team that was honored recently, 25% don't have rings.
That's a lot. It's
Wendy,
a lot.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
The ESPN Tournament Challenge is underway. 14 million brackets and counting. I've already filled mine out on ESPN.com. Please check that out. Stephen A., is yours up? It was due yesterday.
Not yet. It wasn't due yesterday. Oh. I didn't know it was due yesterday. I'm turning mine in today.
Okay.
If it's not doing it, listen, if they don't have it here, they'll have it where I want it. People will know what the bracket says.
Okay.
From me.
Oh, okay.
I'll be all right.
Okay. All right. Doug.
Yes.
You got a Final Four for me?
Yeah, I do.
I want to hear what you got.
I think a lot of us are going to be similar because I'm with him. I like Marquette and East. They play very well at Madison Square Garden.
I took Marquette, too.
The both of us. They got a very good point guard. They won a regular season and a conference tournament in the Big East. I like Marquette and East.
Shaka Smart.
And he's a good
coach.
They
can shoot the three.
I'm going to go with Steve on Indiana. He's a great coach. They got a good center,
right. And
they got a guard who can make plays in big situations. I think Indiana's got a good run. Everybody has always gotten on Gonzaga in the past because they always underachieve. Now they're under the radar. So watch Gonzaga under the radar, a little NCAA.
Right.
Watch him play great under the radar. And I'm going to take Arizona. My buddy Steve Lapis, you know Steve from CBS.
Okay.
I asked him yesterday on the air. He said, if this is a best of seven, who's
former
the best
Villanova
team?
Coach. Former Villanova coach.
Yeah, Villanova. Yeah. I asked him if there was a best of seven, who's the best team? He said Arizona.
Okay.
So I took Arizona.
All right. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The South. I'm rolling with Alabama. Okay? That's not football. It's basketball. All right? This kid Brandon Miller is something special. Now, I do think when it's a star can deliver a national championship for you. In college basketball, maybe not in the pros always. You need more than that. But in college basketball, if everybody does their job, but there's one star that goes
best
ballistic.
Player in the country.
They can do it. He's arguably the best player in the country as a freshman.
Yep.
I'm going with Alabama. Out of the East, I went with Duke.
They're playing well right now.
I went with Duke, okay? Out West, I didn't go with Gonzaga. I thought that was the easy choice, Doggy, to be quite honest with you. Even though UCLA has been a little up and down, not always healthy, I'm going with UCLA. And, of course, I picked Indiana out of the Midwest. My man Mike Woodson, he's going to get the Hoosiers to the Final Four. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. We'll leave it there. By the way, you just had Nick Saban on your podcast. Good interview by you. You're growing.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, with the NCAA tournament kicking into high gear tomorrow, we're joined by our Vegas insider, our friend Joe Fortenbaugh, to dive in some of the best March Madness bets. Let's keep it rolling.
That's right.
In the South region. 13 seed Furman, 5.5 point, I think it's underdog to the 4 seed Virginia. Who do you like here? Sorry about that, Joe.
All apologies to our friend Chris Canty, but I'm going against his beloved Cavaliers. Give me Furman. They're coming in red hot. They've won 14 of 15. They love to bomb the three. Top 10 in the country in three-point attempts. That is how you beat Virginia's defense. Furman's weakness is its rebounding. I don't think Virginia's going to be able to exploit that. And keep something in mind. You're going to notice a theme with the picks today. The ACC is overrated and overvalued, in my opinion. Furman plus 5.5. They're live here, Molly. They're live.
I don't disagree with that. I don't like what I've seen from Virginia in spots this year. I think they're ripe to be had. You might be right about Furman. Yes.
All right. In the Midwest, 5-seed Miami, 2-point favorite over 12-seed Drake. Do you like the classic 12-5 upset here?
Oh, yeah. Like Drake, love Drake. Everybody loves the Drake. They're coming in hot as well. They've won 13 of their last 14 games. They're top 50 in three-point shooting. They're top 20 in free throw shooting. They're one of the most experienced teams in the country. Four starters are fifth-year guys. They're going against a Miami team that's banged up. And again, keep in mind, I think the ACC is overrated and overvalued. Drake very live. Don't be surprised if they make it to the Sweet 16.
I don't disagree with him about that either. Miami is banged up. Drake is experienced. Experience wins in the NCAA tournament, particularly with guard play. I like that pick, Joe.
All right. In the East, 5-seed Duke is a 6.5-point favorite over 12-seed Oral Roberts. What's the play here?
Same thing here. We're going with the underdog. Give me Oral Roberts. Seems like everybody at ESPN, every analyst has Duke going to the Final Four. How likely is that to work out when the consensus opinion is on one team? 17 straight wins for Oral Roberts. Number one in the country in turnovers. They protect the ball at all costs. They're fast. They play at a fast tempo. They can shoot the rock. And again, Duke, I believe they're a bit overvalued. And I want to mention one more thing. Before you kick me off the air, I saw Mad Dog's picks earlier in the show for the Final Four. That's what I call a Silicon Valley Bank special. You ain't getting any money from those picks.
Okay, I can hear him on that. And listen, major, major condolences to my man Galen Gordon, an executive at ABC who's from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts goes down. Oral Roberts goes down.
Why are you hating on his team?
I'm not hating on his team. I just think Duke's going to win this game.
All right, I got one more. Can we take a look at the women's tournament real quick here? South Carolina minus 200 against the field. Would you lay that price with Dawn Staley's Gamecocks?
Oh, this one's going to make me sick. You got to hold your nose, but I would go ahead and play the field at plus 170. Minus 200 is a tough price to lay when you're talking about how many games they need to win. Without question, the best team in the country, but look at it like this. One injury, one off-night shooting, one opponent who just can't miss.
All right, I think he froze up a little. Can I just say one thing, though?
Sarah, South Carolina's loaded.
I need to go to Vegas with Joe, not with you, even though you're there every day. And I need some, like, betting lessons. Because some of this terminology, I don't know the slang, and it's a little anchorman-ish, and I need to get it together. Because I don't bet.
Hold on. Breaking news. Are you admitting on national television is actually something you don't know?
Yeah. I don't know. All these terms and all this stuff, I genuinely want to learn.
Okay. I believe you. I'm just shocked that you admit you don't know something. I mean, it's a miracle.
Hey,
a miracle.
Stephen A.
Yeah.
Don't walk away. The show's not over. Baker Mayfield signing with the Bucks.
So, good luck. I hope that, listen.
It's according to Adam Schefter.
Didn't work out in Cleveland. Certainly didn't work out in Carolina. I hope it works out somewhere. I can't imagine that it's going to work out with the Bucks. Didn't work out with Tom Brady last season.
You know
I don't think it's
going
to make amends with Doug.
We should get this clip for our Emmy reel. So, Stephen A., breaking news. You're walking away. Then I give you the breaking news, and I don't care. That was good. That was a great moment. That was a great moment. So we have 20 more seconds. What do you think? I'm going to tap dance now?
How about
this
that?
This is like, I mean, see what I have
you
to
can do
put
it.
Up with people.
You can handle it.
Sabrina Ionescu is going to be with us tomorrow. Can't wait to talk to her. And that's all I got for you, everybody. I'm Molly. I hope you have a lovely day. And I'm going to learn about betting, so that's cool. Bye.